Welcome to our second sermon in our sermon series entitled Transformed, Follow, Love, Invest. Today's sermon title, Follow. Open your Bible to Matthew 4, verses 18 through 22, and let's begin.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be together this morning. Thank you for all these great people, Lord. I pray that you would bless us and help us to know and live in a relationship with you that is deeply transforming. Father, today I pray that those of us who have never made that decision to follow Christ, I pray today we would just cross that line of faith. Lord, we would begin to relate to you differently. We would look to you as the Savior and Lord of our life. Father, for those who have been following you, I pray we could just intensify our desire to do what's right and pleasing in your sight. And Lord, I pray we could grow to be the full people you want us to be. Bless us, teach us from your word. In Jesus' good name, amen. Well, I think I've told you before, church, that I'm really bad at directions. My internal compass doesn't exist at all. And when I was at drill duty last week, we did a land navigation exercise. Told you about these before. They're not my strength. Not gonna lie to you. But as we were kind of prepping for it, we were going through just all the very basics of it, which I always need refreshed on. And you know, you start and you plot out two points on a map and you draw a line on a map and then you put a protractor down and you figure out the degrees that you need to go from point A to point B. And then once you have those degrees figured out, then you go out in the field and you take your compass and then you point it in the direction of those degrees that you'd figured out you needed to get from point A to point B. And what you try to do is like pick a target, go in that direction, make your way a little bit, count your paces, and then pick another one and keep going. And ideally, that's how you do it. And the compass is the absolute center of this exercise. And having it gives you the ability to at least have a chance at succeeding. But without it, you have no chance of succeeding at all. And just to test your directional ability right now, because I know you're judging me for my lack of, just point which direction is north. Man, you guys are good. Yeah. All right, whatever. Yeah. Yeah, it still doesn't resonate in me. Yeah, we compliment each other. Yeah, so anyway, that didn't work out. But back to this compass. So without a compass, you're completely lost. And as I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, wouldn't it be great to have a compass that we could pull out that could, like, direct the big decisions in our life? Like, wouldn't it be awesome if you were kind of maybe looking between two jobs or looking to maybe move over to this area or whatever, and you just kind of had this life compass that you could pull out, and it would be like, go this way. And you're like, perfect. That's awesome. All right, I'm just going to go in that direction. Or if you had some really difficult relationship issues going on and you weren't sure how to figure your way forward, you could just pull out this life compass, and it could kind of point you down the right path to go. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? And I believe that actually we kind of have that. That believe it or not, when we enter into a relationship with Christ, Christ can be that compass for us. He can be that presence in our life that will always point us to true north and point us to where we need to be. And all we have to do is figure out where he is and then start taking steps towards him. You with me on this? And so this is the big idea I want to share with you today. That when we orient our lives on following Christ, when we say, you know what, following Christ is going to become the true north of my life. That's what I'm going to use to navigate my life. When I don't know where to go, and even when I think I know where to go, I'm always going to look back to where he's at and move towards him. When we orient our lives that way, we will always be in the process of being transformed by God, of being vitally transformed by God and becoming the people that he wants us to be. So today I want to talk about how can we follow Christ? How can we orient our lives on where he's at and make it the driving passion of our life to follow him, to get to where he is, and to just keep saying, all right, where am I at? Where is Christ? I'm going in that direction. And we're going to look at the time when Jesus first called people to follow him. And this was early in his ministry. He had just kind of started. And we're going to see that he identifies a group of people and he says, hey, come follow me. And as we look at this scripture today, I think it's going to give us some helpful insight into what it means to follow Christ. And there's just two points I want to share with you today. Here's my outline. Number one, we're going to talk about the invitation of Christ. What he invites us to as followers. And then secondly, we're going to talk about our response. What a healthy response looks like when Christ invites us. That's it. It's going to be like a 10-minute sermon. And then we can hear Jake and Carly sing some more. So no, I'm just kidding. Real funny people. All right, turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. So this is one of the four biographies of Jesus. Remember, in the New Testament, there's four of these different biographies that give us a little different aspect of Jesus' life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And today we're going to look at Matthew's account. It's Matthew 4, verse 18. Here's what it says. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, this is Jesus. So the Sea of Galilee, it's kind of right in the center of Grafton. He saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter. Peter, that name should kind of ring a bell for most of us. And Andrew, his brother. And they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. So Jesus is walking around the sea, and he sees these two brothers. That's their profession. That's their livelihood. They're fishermen. It's what they do every day. So they're casting a net. It's a normal day. And then the next verse, he said to them, follow me. Repeat that phrase with me. Follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, many of you know this story. But if you didn't know this story, think about what you would do. Because right at this moment, I would say, why? Where are we going? What do you want from me? Right? If anyone ever kind of weighs me over as I come over here, before I move, because I'm not going to expend unnecessary energy, right? Before I knew, what do you want me to do? What do you need? What, right? I want to know. If I were these guys, I'd be like, for how long? When's lunch? Where are we going? What are we doing? What's in it for me? Follow me. But here's what happened. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. What? I would never do that. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, here we go. He saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. So the same scenario happens with a different set of brothers. And look at this. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Same deal. Pretty unbelievable story. Just this very simple in a lot of ways. And in fact, when I was reading it this week, I thought, there's got to be more to this. Right? What? And I think in many ways, Matthew is giving us a summary of this event. And that there were other things that were happening and going on here that, like, for example, in John, which is another biography about Jesus, John tells us that Andrew, the first set of brothers, Andrew, Peter's brother, he had actually been a follower of John the Baptist. Remember him? And John the Baptist was preaching and baptizing people, and Andrew followed him. But then one day Christ came to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist recognized him as the Son of God, the Lamb who's come to take away the sins of the world. And then Andrew began to follow him. So it seems like there was actually a little bit more going on here than it at first seems. And so he was familiar with him, and maybe that's why they were so quick to follow after him. But either way, it's a remarkable story, and I want to talk about this first, the invitation of Christ. And here's the first thing I want you to see about it, that these people that Jesus specifically invited, because he did specifically invite them, there was no good reason for him to invite these people on his team. That's the first thing I want you to see. These were not special people in any sense of the word. They were just normal. They were ordinary. They were fishermen. That's how they made their living. And they lived in the region of Galilee, which historians tell us that Galilee was known as a pretty uneducated, rural, and really unsophisticated place. So these were kind of like, oh, you're from Galilee? Explains a lot, right? As soon as you kind of hear that, you just, in your mind, drop that person like 10 IQ points. That's kind of the reputation that Galilee had. And so Jesus, he's not, you know, picking from the cream of the crop. He's not picking the best and the brightest of his generation, but just absolutely normal and ordinary people. And here's why that's really helpful to know. Because it means none of us can ever think in our mind that we are not people Jesus would choose. In other words, none of us can ever allow the excuse of, I'm not good enough, I'm not religious enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not whatever enough to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You can't use that excuse because he's just looking to pick ordinary, normal, broken people like us. We don't have to be the superstars. That's not what he's interested in. Because what's amazing about Christ is that when he invites us into a life with him, it ends up being a life of radical transformation. See, what we learn later about Andrew and Peter and John and James is that although their lives started out kind of in this ordinary, in this simple way, and although they were broken guys and made a lot of mistakes, and we read about them through these biographies of Jesus, they became, in a sense, spiritual giants at the end of their life. Peter ended up dying because of his commitment to Christ. So did James, and so did Andrew. They all ended up going to a very difficult death because of their commitment to Christ. John wrote some of the books of the New Testament, as did Peter. Andrew ended up kind of starting churches in the Europe, it seems like history tells us, and these men became incredible men of God and transformed people. And it wasn't because of who they were, it was because of their connection to Christ. You with me on this? And so what that means is that when Christ invites us into a relationship, he takes who we are and where we're at, and he says, I'm going to mold you and craft you into something far better, something more pleasing to God, something noble, and something impactful in this world. And we saw him do it. And so that means any of us should be open and see that Christ, just like he called them, is calling us today also. He's not like, no, you're not good enough, you're not this enough. No, the invitation is wide open. You with me on this? Now, here's the other thing you have to know about this invitation, that it's an invitation to an abundant life. And let me explain this. When we read this account in Luke, so again, Luke's another biography of Jesus, and he gives us a little different angle, a little bit more information on this story, and we could throw up those verses. So here's Luke's background to this. So Jesus was teaching at this moment, and he had actually gotten into Simon's boat, and he said to Simon Peter, put out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. So this is just info Matthew doesn't tell us. He summarizes it. Luke gives us a little bit more. And Simon says, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I'll let down the net. So, you know, we had a bad fishing day. Jesus, I don't want to go out again. I'm tired. I'm hungry. This is a waste of time. But when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. So remarkable trip. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. It's a lot of fish. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. Any more here? All right. Couldn't remember how far we went. But, all right, so you see this incredible moment here where Christ kind of does this sort of miracle, if you will, and they have this incredible catch, and then this becomes the moment that Peter begins to follow him. And in this moment, what I think the huge catch of fish symbolizes is that Christ is saying to him, I am inviting you into an abundant life. Because Jesus said, you're going to become a fisher of men. That your life is going to be abundant in the sense of its purpose and its meaning and its impact in this world. And that whenever we respond to the invitation of Christ, what we're responding to is a far better life. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that if you follow Jesus, you're going to get the Camaro that you always wanted, you know, or you're going to win the lottery. But you will have abundance in the sense of meaning and purpose and joy and the sense of God's presence and forgiveness, which, believe it or not, are greater than any amount of wealth or any material possession. Right? You could have all the things in the world and be absolutely miserable and feel like your life is purposeless. We've seen stories of that over and over and over again. But in Christ, when he invites us, he's inviting us to a life of absolute abundance. And John's gospel, John's biography of Jesus, Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and they may have it abundantly. That the offer of Christ, what's so unique about it, is Christ calls these people and he calls us to follow him. But the way the relationship works is that it's not because of what we have to offer to Christ, it's because of what he wants to offer to us. It's absolutely amazing. And Christ says, I want you to follow me for your sake. He didn't need these people to follow him. And he doesn't need us to follow him. But he invites us into that so he can give us the very best of God into our lives, which is an incredible thing. And so this is why, one of the reasons, we should never, ever turn down his call for us to follow him. This is one of the reasons that we should be like, all right, absolutely. That we should kind of respond like they did, just say, all right, immediately, I'm going to leave behind this nonsense and I'm going to follow you because he has the abundance in life. And so he invites them into that. Now, one last thing about the invitation, and I think this is where it can cause tension in our life. That if you notice, Jesus invites them into his life. They don't necessarily invite him into their life. And this is sometimes, I think, where the tension comes for us. Is that we want God, we want to be in a relationship with God, but we want to control it. We want to be in a relationship with God, but we want to tell God where he can meddle in our life and where he can't meddle. You with me on this? We want to tell God, hey, you can have this sliver of my life. You can stay in this box. But everything from here on out, I'm the Lord of that. Right? That's mine. Hands off. And we don't maybe say it outrightly like that, but that's what we actually believe in our heart. But this call to follow Jesus is different because Jesus isn't saying, hey, Peter, Andrew, can you schedule me in at some point? I know you're busy fishing. I know you got to feed your families. I know it's perch season and fish fries are going on and all that. But could you give me like a 15-minute window? There's some things I'd like to talk with you about. No, he says, follow me. You're coming with me now. I'm setting the pace. I'm setting the direction. And you're going to follow after me. And when we respond to the invitation of Christ, we are saying, all right, you're true north now. You're the compass now. You're setting the direction. You're setting the agenda. You're not just filling a little slot in my life, but now my life is revolving around you. You with me on this? But here's what is amazing about that. Although that can feel scary, and it can feel totally out of control, it is the best decision we could ever make, to place the controls of our life out of our hands and into Christ. We will never regret making that decision. So that's the invitation. Now let's talk about the response. So obviously we just kind of get the summary version of the response that immediately they left and they followed him. But I want to just talk about three ways that we experience this response, that we respond to this correctly in our lives. And it's just kind of these three declarations. How do we respond to the call of Christ? Well, first, we make a declaration of faith. And I'll explain this. We make a declaration of faith. Then we make a declaration of obedience. And we make a declaration of urgency. So faith, obedience, and urgency. Let's talk about the first one. When Christ calls us, and I believe that Matthew put this in here for us because he's saying, hey, just like Christ called them, he's calling out to each of us now. The first way we respond is a declaration of faith. And now this response, this is an internal thing. This is something between your heart and God. No one can make this declaration for you. It's got to be authentic. It's got to come from your heart. And what we're ultimately saying is we look to the person of Christ and we acknowledge who he is and what he's done. That's the declaration of faith. We say, Christ, I don't see you as a great teacher or a really cool ancient guy or a really wise, you know, life teacher. I see you as the Son of God who's come down to rescue us from our sins. It's a declaration of faith. We look to Christ differently. And we say, you are alive and real, and you are the Son of God, and you reign at the right hand of God, and there's coming a day where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, and I just want to declare you as my Savior and my Lord. And that's a declaration of faith. And this is a personal thing. This is something between your heart and God. And so what we do is we look to Christ, we say, you're my only hope for forgiveness. We talked about this so many times, right? God, he doesn't operate on a performance basis. I'm going to clean up my act. I'm going to get really, really religious. I'm going to be a good boy. And then God's going to be like, hey, you finally made the cut. I love you. You were a dirtbag before. I like you now. As long as you keep it up, right? Not how it works. The scripture, and thank God for that, because there's no hope there. How it works is that Christ went to the cross to bear our sin, to bear our shortcomings, because we can never bridge the gap. We can never be good enough. We can never live up to God's standard, but God says, you don't have to, because I'm going to send one in your place. And when Christ went to the cross, he died to forgive us, to bring us back to God. And he rose again on the third day. And God said, hey, he has overcome sin and death and evil. The greatest problems in this world have been dealt a death blow. And now you have eternal hope because of Christ. And a declaration of faith is looking to Christ and saying, you are my Savior. There's no hope for me without you. And you're my Lord. I want you to lead my life. I want to follow you. And that's the first response, is we respond that way. We acknowledge that in our heart. We believe, man, God did do this incredible thing through Christ. He raised him from the dead. And this changes everything for everyone. And we declare him as Lord in our life. Now, then the New Testament says, when we make that declaration in our heart, we have this personal moment with God. The next thing the scriptures say is that we then become baptized. That baptism is a way that we express that internal commitment publicly. And it's kind of us saying to the world, hey, Christ is awesome. Christ is the man. He's forgiven me. He's changed my life. He's the Lord of my life. And I just want everybody to know that I've committed my life to him and that I'm going to follow him. And that's what baptism is. I heard someone explain baptism really well. They said it's like a wedding ring. You know, a wedding ring isn't what makes you married, but it shows that you are, right? It's, you can buy a ring and throw it on there. It doesn't mean that you are married, but you get married and then you put the ring on because it shows the world that you're married. And that's what baptism is. It doesn't save us. It's not a magical experience, but it shows that God has done this deeply powerful work of salvation in our lives. And then we express it as a way to say thank you, as a way to sort of seal that commitment in our hearts, and a way to publicly show the world. So with that being said, we have baptism inserts in the bulletin. And if you've made that internal commitment to Christ, you've declared faith to him, and you've said, man, in my heart, you're my Lord and Savior, but you've never been baptized, next week, we're going to do baptisms. And it would be an honor to baptize you. I'd love to do that. So you can fill that out. And after service today, I'm going to do just like a quick 5 or 10 minute meeting and go over all the details of baptism really quick. So after service, if you're interested in that, if that's on your heart, just come down, talk real quick. If you have questions about it, I can explain it. But that's part of that declaration of faith. You with me on this? All right, let's talk about the declaration of obedience. This, I think, is the most challenging part of all this. The declaration of obedience means that when I decide to follow Christ, I'm going to judge everything in my life by this question: does it please Christ? Everything. It's the question that matters most. Every situation, everything that I'm going through, every decision, the way that I speak, the way that I think, the way that I relate to others, the way that I talk, everything, I'm going to constantly ask myself, does this please Christ? Does this honor him? And I'm going to allow him to be that compass of my life. If I do this, am I taking a step towards him, or am I taking a step away? You with me on this? And notice what I love about this passage, what is so challenging to me about this passage, is that these disciples, when they heard that call, they had unconditional obedience. Something that I want in my life. I'll be honest with you, I'm not real good at it. Right? When God calls me to do something, I'm like, God, are you sure about this? Like, what, you know, have you thought about this angle on here? Do you know how hard that is? Or I'll just kind of be like, what? I didn't say that loud, or I didn't really hear you. What? I'll find all kinds of ways. But these guys responded in unconditional obedience. And to follow Christ means that is the driving passion of my life. Now, it's easy to be driven by, does this please me? That's the most natural drive in our lives. That's the most natural compass in my life. Do I think this is a good idea? Does this please me? Is this good in my sight? All that kind of thing. But when we choose to follow Christ, we're putting Christ even above ourselves. And we're saying, if your desires are different than mine, yours win. If your desires are different than everyone's expectation of me, then yours win. And that declaration of obedience, that I am going to do my best to follow you at all times and all things, is the essence of what it means to follow Christ. You with me on this? Now, let me just talk quickly. Here's 3 ways of how we hear Christ's voice today. Because you might be thinking, man, well, it was really easy for Peter and Andrew because Christ showed up at their workplace and told them exactly what to do. But I haven't seen Christ at my workplace lately, right? So how do I figure this out? So here's 3 ways to listen for the voice of Christ. And they're real simple. Number one, I think the way that Christ primarily speaks to us today is through the scriptures. And this is why I always tell you, it's so important every day to read or listen to the Bible. Because it's a way that Christ's voice gets through to us. It's a way that we understand his desires and his longings for our life. And as we struggle in life, when you take time and you just read through the scriptures, you will often hear the voice of God for what you're struggling with, for what your situation is, and him saying, this is the way, walk in it. So we've got to intake the scriptures. Here's the second way we listen for Christ's voice. We pray, but then we also listen. Right? Prayer is supposed to be a conversation, not a monologue. That's how I usually do it, though. God, here's everything I'm worried about, everything I want you to do. Peace out. Talk to you later. Love you. And that's it. But when you pray, I don't know. When you pray, you have to spend time listening too. Saying, all right, God, here's what I think, but what do you think? And listen and be sensitive to the prompting and the direction of his spirit. Because here's what Jesus said to his disciples. He said, hey, I'm leaving you. But guess what? You're going to be better off because my spirit is going to be living in you. And he's never going to leave you. And he's going to direct you and help you and lead you into the truth. And so his spirit does that. And then lastly, here's the third way we can hear Christ's voice in our lives is through good friends, good people's counsel. Through people who love God and love us and want the best for us, man, sometimes God will speak through them. And if we're always, you know, snubbing people's good advice and things like that, then we might miss God leading us. So we make a declaration of obedience. Now here is, again, one of the most important things about obedience. It requires action. When Jesus called them, they left their business. They left everything. It's absolutely incredible. And they began to follow him. Because following Jesus implies movement, doesn't it? Right? It doesn't seem like he's standing still. He's going somewhere. And when we obey, it's got to be in action in our lives. We've got to be moving towards where he is. And I think many times, if you're like me, I'm more content with knowing about God than obeying God. I'll go, yeah, I know. I know what God wants me to do. Isn't that good enough? Well, no. I know what a healthy diet is too, but I still love Mr. Hero. And I like going there, and I love cheesy fries. Right? But that I can know all the right things, but if I don't do them, it's not helpful at all. And we can know about God. We can know what God wants us to do. But until we obey him, that knowledge is really a no benefit to us. You with me on this? That's the declaration of obedience. And then let's talk about the last one, the declaration of urgency. Immediately, they left and followed him. Immediately. I definitely would have thought about it for a while. I would have thought myself out of it, right? But immediately, they followed him. And here's just the last thing I want to say about this. The quicker our response time to God, the more we grow, the less unnecessary pain we'll go through, the wiser our life will become. The shorter that distance is in our life between God's call and our obedience, we will save years of pain and struggle and unnecessary suffering, and we'll have the opportunity for God to take our lives farther, faster, the shorter that timeline is. And here's the other thing about the declaration of urgency is that if you're like me, there's all kinds of things that I will let feel urgent in my life. All kinds of things that I'll be anxious about. And usually when I step back and I try to say, hey, should I actually be anxious about this thing? It's like, no. But the things you should be anxious about, you're not. With me on this? Usually the things that grab my attention are not the most important things. And it can be very distracting and pull us off course over the long haul. So I just want to challenge you with this. What if the thing that we felt the greatest urgency about in our lives was our obedience to Christ? What if we became anxious about that? Am I honoring him right now? Am I pleasing him? What if we felt the weight of that more in life instead of all the other stuff that we feel the weight of? What if that became the thing that drove our lives? And the thing that we got most worked up about was, is this right? Is this pleasing to Christ? Is this glorifying to him? Because that is the most important thing in your life and my life. And here's a great thing. Christ is the best leader ever. He will only lead you to the exact place you need to be. He will only lead you for your sake and for his glory. He will lead us in the absolute best possible way, and we can fully trust him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your grace, for your kindness. We thank you that you would invite people like us who are broken and imperfect and have a lot of baggage to be your followers. Father, what a privilege it is to hear you call our name. And now, Lord, I pray we could respond today with faith. And I pray, Lord, we could respond with obedience. I know it's a word that we don't like, and I don't like it myself, but Lord, I pray we could see the beauty of it in relationship to you. And I pray, Father, that we would be people who just hear your voice and more than anything want to please you and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Bless us, Lord. Teach us your way. Bless these good people. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.